Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Are you tired of making resolutions every year and then like a couple of weeks after New Year's, you don't keep those resolutions, or you say, you know, I'm making these promises and then you berate yourself because you didn't keep those promises? My guest is Jim White. He is a registered dietitian and here to help us come up with ways to not make resolutions, but to still keep those health promises to ourselves. Welcome to the show, Jim. So ending resolutions, what are we doing with that?
Well, you know, this has been common. The average person in 2 months after starting a New Year's resolution falls off the wagon. So I think I love that you said lifestyle, because we need to make these lifestyle. I'm not concerned about what's going to go on from January through March. I'm concerned about what's going on 2014 and 2015 and for the rest of our lives, because we need to make lifestyle changes.
So, well, you know, what about the resolutions? You say it's lifestyle changes, and we're going to talk about that in another segment too, but when you say the resolutions, people have been making them for thousands of years, Jim. So, you know, how do we stop ourselves, first of all, from saying, okay, in this new year, I'm going to do this, and that's my resolution? Do we just use different wording, or do we think of it differently?
Well, I think we think of it differently. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. There's nothing wrong with, you know, jump-starting a program. But, you know, as the clock ticks to January 1st, there's no reason to just all of a sudden, you know, change on what you're doing. You know, I think we should be doing this now. We should be making realistic goals starting today and make those stick.
Okay, so realistic goals. And, you know, we've talked before about setting SMART goals on this show, you know, ones that are attainable. So speak about setting goals. What does that mean? How do we set goals that we actually can keep?
Well, I think we got to follow what ACSM recommends, and it's about 4 to 8 pounds of weight loss a week. 4 to 8 pounds a month.
Yikes! Okay, good.
I know, jumping on past there, but we have clients coming in that will say, "I want to lose 30 pounds in a month," and you know, there, of course, some people can lose that according to their weight. But you know, if you fall short of that, I see a lot of people beat themselves up and they continue on stress eating and binge eating and just skipping their exercise altogether. So setting those realistic weight loss goals of a 4 to 8 pounds a month, you know, this could really motivate people.
Okay, so first thing is to set your goal whether or not you want to lose weight, or, you know, and be realistic. So realism, that's your first realistic goals. That is your first thing with goal setting. So now what else do we do when we're setting goals? How do we set those goals that we're going to keep so they're realistic, and what else do we need to know?
I'll tell you what, we got to plan. These things, just like we would a business plan, just like we would organizing our daily activities, we got to plan our meals, we got to plan our workouts throughout the week to accomplish this. I find a lot of people that don't do this, they get caught up in life and they skip their workouts, they don't have their snacks readily available, and this can wreak havoc on their goals.
Okay, so, you know, and you don't want to wreak havoc. You want them to be, because we have so much negative self-talk, Jim, and especially women. We, you know, we say, okay, we're going to lose weight, and we're going to trim my thighs, and we're going to, you know, and then all of a sudden, month or two in, it's just not happening. What about that negative self-talk if we can't keep those goals in the timeline we, you know, would like?
Yeah, and I think that's, we put too much pressure on ourselves as a society. We have that all-or-nothing mentality that, if we don't hit this, you know, so we got to have some flexibility in our goals. You know, have some flexibility of not just setting ourselves up for failure, because that will cause that negative talk and that will be self-destructive on our goal planning.
Okay, so, you know, the negative self-talk just does us no good in any situation anyway. And so when we're thinking about other New Year's resolutions, we have to keep them simple, right? We can't get too complicated and make too many of them all at once.
Absolutely. You know, another thing, I know we mentioned weight, and of course weight can be a measure, but I'll tell you what, you know, if people get stuck on weight, they can be severely disappointed. You know, we have a lot of clients that come in, and they'll lose a lot of inches, but they don't see a change in the scale. You know, and there's a lot of factors why the weight, you know, increases or decreases. So I think people need to know that and focus on different things, such as the benefits of sleep, you know, exercise can have on sleep, on energy, maybe getting off some of their medications can be a goal, or even better confidence. Like, these are tangible results that can occur from healthy eating and a healthy exercise plan.
Now, what about things like support? Having support in your things. You know, people say, okay, I'm going to quit smoking, and they tell everybody, and a month later, they're still smoking, and people say, oh, I thought you were going to quit, or, you know, I thought you were on a diet. Do you tell people your resolutions?
Oh, yes. Now, I'm telling you, support could be one of the biggest keys to keeping you on your goals. You know, and it doesn't even have to be your friends and family. I mean, that is definitely first and foremost. But, you know, there's a lot of fitness gadgets and gizmos that can really, really keep you accountable. There's a lot of social online forums that can people can keep you accountable. And, you know, whether it's hiring a personal trainer, you definitely need support. And there's so many different ways you actually can get this to help you achieve your goals.
Okay, because it's not, you know, when I was losing weight, I told my husband and I gave him the free rein to say, honey, what are you doing? Or watch what you're doing there. Don't fall off the wagon there. And I didn't mind. But some friends of mine looked at me and said, how can you let him say that to you? It kept me accountable.
Yes, and I think that works for certain people. And if it's not your husband, if it's not someone in your family, maybe a close friend, just to be honest, because, you know, this is, you know, without that, we're more likely to set ourselves up for failure. You know, we're more likely to, studies show, to adhere to exercise while exercising with a buddy, while having a personal trainer, while having someone keeping you accountable. So that's something I definitely would recommend in getting back on that goal treading for the new year.
I love accountability, you know, and that's something like that Weight Watchers does, and it's something the scale does, Jim. What do you think about using the scale as part of your accountability?
Well, I think it's a good tool. I think it has to be used among all the other things, such as body fat testing, if you have someone that can do it for you, such as, you know, accounting for your measurements. You know, grab a measuring tape and wrap it around your belly button. That's your abdominal circumference. And then around the widest part of your glutes, that's your hip circumference. So by keeping track of that, I think that just not on the scale alone. I think if we use the scale, we use measurements, we use how we look in the mirror, how we feel in our clothes, all those have to be considered together in order to see realistic goals.
That's great advice. And I'm not opposed to using the scale, at least, because then you don't step on it and go, geez, I gained 10 pounds. I wasn't even paying attention, especially during the holidays.
Yes, yes. I mean, it could be, and some people use it to kick their butt to get in gear if they do gain. And, you know, and if people, it's a reward. If people are losing, it's a great reward to see success on.
I think so, too. I think it does help a little bit. And what about the time frame factor? You know, giving yourself the time, and again, it's back to the realistic goals, but what kind of time can you look at to get fit or to get stronger or to get thinner thighs or to lose weight?
You know, usually it takes around 3 months to see a good body transformation. So I would say, you know, I always recommend for people to set up micro goals, meso goals, and macro goals. And those are short, medium, and long-term goals. So, you know, I know sometimes thinking, oh, man, in a year I want to be here. That's too long. But you got to keep your eye on it. But you know, so start those small goals. Maybe it's just this week I'm going to get out and exercise 30 minutes a day. Or this month I'm going to focus on lowering my alcohol intake. You know, starting off those small goals, those are going to be motivators and get you to the medium and long goals.
So, Jim, in the last 30 seconds here, give us a good wrap-up of ending making resolutions and instead making these realistic goals that we actually possibly can keep.
We got to make this a lifestyle. We got to really, really enjoy exercise. Switch it up every few months. Find exercises you enjoy. Food, really just watch portion sizes and really find something that works for you. This shouldn't be a hard thing to work about or worry about. We should make this easy, enjoyable, and fun to keep it going for the rest of our lives.
That's great advice. It does have to be enjoyable. It does have to be a little fun, and that's a good motivator, you know, and some accountability, support, all of these things. Great pieces of advice for ending the resolutions but making goals and lifestyle changes. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.